May the Lord be in my mouth and in my heart and in my mind, that we may receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Do be seated. So, good morning, church. Today's reading has two themes. The first one, do not worry. The second one, be watchful or ready. So to set the scene, a little earlier in Luke, we see the parable of the rich fool warning us to be on our guard from greed, pointing out that our lives are not all about the possessions that we have. The rich man has too much grain to store, so he thinks he'll build bigger barns and store all he has. But Jesus points out to him that this will not mean we're rich towards God. Luke continues, telling us we should not worry about our lives, what to wear, what to eat, as this will not add a single hour to our lives. Then in today's gospel, in chapter 12, it says again, not to worry, little flock, indicating our belonging to the family of God. Don't panic or make for the door. Not everyone is called to sell everything and give everything away to the poor. Relax. But of course, the real treasure that we have is Jesus. Yet, in our humanity, we are easily distracted. The call of the mobile phone, the latest fashion, the poshest car. But all these things are transient, not permanent, requiring repeated effort just to maintain them. Is this the best treasure for you? When the gospel was written, none of these things existed. It was a simpler, slower style of life. Yet the message was the same. It's just that our earthly treasures, the things that we perceive as important to us, are different now in our demanding, faster pace of life. Luke says, be watchful. We don't know the hour or the day that the Lord will come. This advice is as relevant today as it was then. So if Jesus walked in here today, I wonder what we would do or say. Regardless of what we've thought, I'm sure there would be a reaction similar to, uh-oh, the point of no return. You might well ask, what on earth is she talking about, the point of no return? Basically, means there's no time to fit in other things. The moment has come, ready or not. So, what hope can we have in a challenging moment? We all need hope. However, even if it was poured over us or delivered to us by FedEx, doesn't mean that we have that hope. There's a point of action that we need to take. After all, a parcel is only as useful when we choose to open it. I had to take some action when visiting the dentist for a root canal filling. After only one previous dental misadventure, I became dental phobic. I'd reached my point of no return when the metal casing was put round your tooth and they screw it up tight. Now there's no escape, no way out, no way back, a point of no return. I noticed, as you do in the dentist's chair when you're just looking up at the ceiling, that there were connections between the ceiling tiles, like cross shapes. So it reminded me to pray. I experienced a complete change. No worries about the dentist from that moment on. So dramatic was this change that my dentist said, "What's happened to you? You're cool as a cucumber. Maybe you're better with early morning appointments." Opening up a very useful conversation about prayer. Maybe she wished she hadn't, who knows. But maybe you've had a point of no return.
A bungee jump, perhaps? Driving on the M1 for the first time? Or pregnant for months and now about to deliver your first baby? No going back now. How on earth do we deal with situations of no going back? How can we prepare ourselves? Today's passage seems a really simple story, yet has a clear message of instruction and hope. The servants are waiting up all night for their master to return, watchful and alert. How strange that when he comes, if they're watchful and ready, they swap positions. The master dons on his apron and serves them, even in the middle of the night. More interesting, this story takes place at night, where normally everyone is asleep, accentuating the fact that we need to be watchful or alert to the movement of God at all times. It's very clear that this story is about the kingdom of God, to which we should set our minds and attitudes about the future. After all, this would bring us hope and a purpose. What is not clear, however, is whether the story relates to all the servants. Commentaries suggest it's about the servants who are left in charge of the household. Perhaps a sober reminder to leaders and their responsibilities. Jesus normally speaks his parables to a crowd, or his disciples, or people in general. But here, he's addressing the household, the Lord's people, shining a light on all of us, being alert to recognizing him when he speaks, and more importantly, will we be ready when he returns at some unknown point? Those of you that have known me a very long time will understand this bit. When my children were very young, chaos reigned in my house as I had to work around their specific special needs. Whenever I managed to achieve anything that looked like tidying or cleaning the house, my youngest would say, "Who's coming?" Because if we know someone's coming, we generally make preparations. Then we feel we've made an effort, showing worth to them. But we don't know when our time is up on this earth or when the Lord may return. Sometimes we prepare sooner or later for retirement, for pensions, organizing holidays, our earthly plans. But what about our preparations for an eternal purpose? Is our eternal purpose part of what we are living for? Retirement plan in place, but what about our after-death plan? It certainly won't include our savings, our career, our CV, or our position. Take heart. It's never too late. Be alert and watchful, making ourselves ready. But ready or not, we can keep our eyes on the prize, mindful of him at all times. We have so much in the New Testament to teach us about Christ, his life, his purpose, his sacrifice. And the Old Testament points us continually to Christ through prophecies about his coming on earth to die. Are we longing yet for his second coming? In Romans it says, "The whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time." Once again, we see that Paul does not say we should ignore or dismiss human suffering. Pain is real. We all experience suffering of one kind or another in this life, and not just from childbirth. But pain is a miserable thing, sometimes feels relentless. So understanding what awaits us on the other side can be really helpful and comforting and raising hope. So to summarize, what is our hope today? How can we get it? Can we be ready? I wonder how we would like the Lord to find us when he comes. Hopeful, at peace with ourselves, at peace with others? Are we open to meeting our God of surprises, whether on his return or even today? Let's be grateful, not dreading challenges. Why not invite him to reveal something new to you by the power of his Holy Spirit? He might just surprise you. Being ready is not easy. It requires intentional effort. But be encouraged. God knows us much better than we know ourselves. He doesn't force us, but teaches us in love. I guess we're not ready there yet, but do encourage one another as the family of God in this place, in prayer, sacrament, and scripture. Be watchful, patient, and prayerful, growing in hope as we await the coming of our Lord. Amen. Let us stand, if you are able, to declare our faith in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please sit or kneel for prayer.
Let us pray. Almighty God, as we come together to worship and to praise you, we ask you to hear our prayers for the church and for the world and our local community and all the people in need. Thank you, Lord, that we acknowledge that you can do more than we can ask or imagine. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Holy God, we pray for all Christian churches throughout the world as they meet together to worship and praise you and enjoy fellowship with you and with each other this day. Particularly pray for the safety of Christians who are persecuted because of their faith. We pray that politicians will be aware of this and action will be taken to protect Christians and their belief and their worship. Lord, we pray for the leaders of all Christian churches in our local area. We think especially of Lyndon and Barbara, that they will enjoy a well-earned break and holiday in August. Lord, we pray that you'll guide those in leadership and authority so that your people will always be focused on your kingdom. Show us how to be your people, to witness to our faith in you, in our daily lives. Lord, we pray for your blessing on our own parish of St. Andrews, we pray that we might be so filled with your joy for our belief in you that our hearts will overflow with your love, and for all people we meet along our journey. Lord, we pray in advance for the coming season. We pray also that the holiday club that was so successful, that those seeds that were sown will be watered. We pray ahead for like the little steps and the return of the youth club this autumn. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Oh Lord, we read that scripture in Revelation, and the leaves were for the healing of the nations. And Lord, as we look around and we see the torment and the suffering and all the manifest difficulties in this world, Lord, we pray for some of that right now, for the healing of the nations. So Lord, we pray for this world, and we pray for all those places where there is war and unrest. And right now we pray with particular focus on Gaza and Ukraine. We pray that there will be a lasting peace. We pray there will be a breakthrough. We pray that the strongholds of conflict and hatred will be broken. And Lord, we think ahead of that coming meeting on Friday between President Trump and Putin. We pray for breakthroughs there. And again, we pray for peace and justice. Lord, we pray for those aid agencies that work to bring relief to those people who are suffering. So Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Faithful God, we thank you for all the communities of which we are all part of, and we ask that you will guide us to be more aware of our neighbours' needs and the ways in which we might help. We also pray for the staff and pupils of all our local schools, that they will enjoy their summer break and come back refreshed this September. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, we pray for all those who are experiencing suffering of any kind. We pray for those who are spending today, maybe in hospital or in care home or in a hospice. We pray for the caregivers in our communities, for those who are paid and for those who are unpaid. We pray for healing and comfort for those in need, and pray for patience and compassion for those who care for them. Lord, we bring before you those in the Starlink who need a special touch from you for healing and other needs. We pray for Earl Adams, David Alini, Ralph Bedford, Mark Gardner, Malcolm George, Broden Keeley, Emily Rockingham, Pam Story, Martin Vowles, and Angela Sadurin. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious Father, we pray for those who mourn and the remembrance of those who've died recently or at a time of this year. And we pray, Lord, that you'll comfort them who mourn. And we thank you for the eternal rest in your kingdom and for those whose earthly lives are over. And we give thanks for those whose faith was a witness to us and for those whose faith was known to you. We pray that you'll make us, I am ready for your kingdom for all eternity. So, Lord, we bring before you and thank you with thanksgiving those who've anniversaries for at this time and for those who recently died. Pray for, remember John Bedford, Diane Sanuga, William Nicolay, Beryl Crowhurst, Kathleen Taylor, David Hughes, and Joyce Lemur. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Everlasting God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, work within us and help us to walk in fellowship with you daily. Work among us to bring your kingdom values into this world. So, Lord, be with us during this coming week as we seek to serve you and help those we meet. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please stand.